مثلا قديما جدا ومثلا حديثا جدا.
The Sheikh says one example is one that is a very old example, and he said one example is an example that is a very new example.
المثل القديم الخوارج.
He says the old example is the example of the Khawarij, the Kharijites.
الإباديون منهم.
And he says the Ibadiyun, al-Ibadiyah, he said they are from them. They are from the Khawarij.
الذين يلتقون مع المعتزلة قديما وحديثا في إنكار كثير من العقائد الإسلامية الصحيحة.
So he says they are those who have agreed with the Mu'tazila of old and of new in rejection of many of the correct Islamic beliefs.
الثابتة في الكتاب والسنة.
Those being the Islamic beliefs which are confirmed in the Quran and the Sunnah. He says these Khawarij, like the Mu'tazila, both of old and of new, they have rejected many of these beliefs of that have been confirmed in Quran and Sunnah from the correct beliefs of Islam. Yet he says, however, along with their rejection, they still say we are upon the Quran and the Sunnah, and their claim, even though they reject the Sunnah, much of the Sunnah, and the authentic Islamic belief, they still claim we are upon the Al-Kitab, the Book of Allah, and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, I said I would inform you of this, of an old example, and he says, verily, is the greatest bounty with which Allah Azza wa Jal has informed of.
عباده المؤمنين في أنه وعدهم بأنهم يرون ربهم يوم القيامة.
He says this is the greatest bounty which Allah has informed His ibad, His worshippers of it. And he says that is that those worshippers, they will see Allah. Allah has promised that they would see Him on the Day of Judgment. Just as the Prophet ﷺ said on a night when the moon was a full moon, the Prophet ﷺ informed the companions in the hadith when they were together and it was a full moon that night.
فقال لهم عليه الصلاة والسلام إنكم سترون ربكم يوم القيامة كما ترون القمر ليلة البدر.
Just as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, he said, verily you all will see your Lord on the Day of Judgment just as you will see the moon on a full moon night.
لا ترامون أو لا تبامون في رؤيته.
And the Prophet ﷺ said, you will not have to get crowd together, or you won't have to gather all around together to be able to see him. You won't have to crowd together to be able to see him. So the Sheikh says, and this means you won't have any difficulty in seeing him. And so he says, so have these Mu'tazila, have they believed, and these people who accepted their way of thinking in the religion and have accepted their view in this matter, have they believed? The Sheikh says, do they believe that the believers will see their Lord on the Day of Judgment? Do the Mu'tazila believe this? Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it would be, would happen. In this authentic hadith and other hadith besides it. And the Shaykh says the answer is no. And he says the answer is verily they reject this favor, this bounty of Allah. So the Sheikh says, but to the contrary, they declare those who believe in this bounty to be astray. And to the contrary, he says, they ascribe to these people that they are being anthropomorphic and making Allah, declaring, Allah to be a physical body, to seem, having some jism, that Allah is a body physically, or that Allah, they're being anthropomorphic or humanistic concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
بأن من نعم الله عز وجل على عباده بل من أكبر نعمه أنه يتجلى لهم يوم القيامة.
But he says, and to the contrary, we, the Ahl al-Sunnah, we believe that of the great bounties of Allah, the greatest bounty of Allah, rather the greatest bounty of Allah, is that Allah will make Himself, He will make Himself apparent, appear to His worshippers on the Day of Judgment. This is what we, the Ahl al-Sunnah, believe. And that they, the worshippers of Allah, the believers, will see their Lord on that day just like they see the moon on a night when the moon is full. But they, these Mu'tazila, they reject this. So one would say, how can they reject it when this hadith is where the Prophet mentioned this, is a sahih, authentic hadith? And there are many other hadith with the same meaning. He says they have philosophy with them. And he says, I'm sure that you all have heard some of this philosophical talk from their propagators and their writers who are today, have writings today, in the modern writings of today, this Islamic, so-called, quote-unquote, Islamic philosophy. So the Sheikh says, so due to this, I'm going to present a mentioning of some of these matters related to the beliefs and that are related more or less to this aqidah that we call to, the kitab and the sunnah, and upon the manhaj, the methodology of our pious predecessors, as-salaf as-salih. He said, these philosophers, they say that verily aqidah, matters of belief, cannot be taken from narrations that are ahad, which meaning only have a few number of narrators in each chain of the transmission, just in summary. He said, aqidah cannot be taken from these ahad narrations. Even though the hadith may be a hadith that is sahih, but if it's called ahad, if there are not many narrators who narrated that hadith in its route of transmission, even though that hadith may still be sahih and authentic, they say we can't take aqidah, we don't take our beliefs from these types of hadiths. He says, even if the hadith is anything less than that, even if it's an elaborate hadith, that elaborate and is in detail, if it's anything, according to these Mu'tazila, if it's anything less than the status of mutawatir, they say this hadith is not acceptable, and it's a blameworthy, or it's a hadith that has, it's a faulty hadith, is not acceptable enough for us to apply our beliefs with that hadith, because it's less than mutawatir, meaning having a numerous amount of people who narrated it in each level of its chain of narration.
الذين يشترطون هذا الشرط الحديثي
But then the Shaykh says, the strange thing is about this is that these people who put this condition, this condition that's a condition in the science of hadith, they place this rigid condition. He said, these people, these people are the ones who the scholars of hadith have said about them that they're the furthest away from the knowledge of hadith. They don't even have people amongst them who are muhadithun, who are scholars of hadith. And then they place this condition. The strange thing is they place these type of condition on the hadith, and they themselves are not even studious or known even amongst the scholars of hadith to have people of knowledge amongst them in the science of hadith at all. He said, whether it be in the knowledge of hadith itself or the reporting of the hadith, they are not known to be of people of hadith. So Sheikh Al-Bani says they are the people of desires. All they're following is their desires. He says, so then after that, they go placing conditions on the hadith that they themselves, they're not even able to verify these conditions in the hadith, because there's not anyone amongst them who has the ability to verify these or check for these particular conditions. They don't even have that ability. So how can they place those type of conditions? So he says they place these conditions, and yet in the face of those people who are able to check the hadith, they have the ability to do so, and they don't even put these type of conditions or saying are not saying this. And they are the people of hadith, they are the people of the narrations, they are the people of the sunnah, they are the people of knowledge in this area of hadith. Even they don't put these type of conditions. And he says, if you say to them that this vision, this seeing, that is the seeing of the believers seeing Allah on the Day of Judgment, this has not only been just narrated in the Sunnah, only in the Hadiths. Doing so because they are the ones who are throwing out doubt or trying to make suspicion concerning the matter that the Hadith should not be accepted about the seeing of Allah, because it's a hadith that is from narrations that are considered ahad. And they're saying that these hadiths, the khabari ahad, aqidah cannot be taken from it. So the Shaykh says in response to this, verily this aqidah, this belief of ours, the seeing of Allah on the Day of Judgment, that the believers will see Allah on the Day of Judgment, he said this aqidah has also been reported, has come from the noble Quran. And its narration, its reporting of the Quran has been reported from the Prophet with all of it being mutawatir, and being meaning have from numerous routes of transmission, numerous people reporting it in the routes of its transmission, and it being confirmed with conviction that this is unanimously agreed, that there's no way that the Quran is subject to suspect in reference to its transmission, its mutawatir in its transmission. He says, then what you'll see is you'll find that they delve into or turn to a different version of philosophy. They give you another philosophy for that. The Shaykh says that is in their saying that aqidah cannot rest upon, rested upon, except for with an evidence that is solidly confirmed, definitely confirmed, and there's no doubt concerning it. The dalil has to be like this. And that, they say, is by a narration that is absolutely confirmed in its transmission. Meaning in its the transmission of that knowledge. Dirayatan. So if there's a verse of the Quran that is confirmed, of course that the Quranic verse is confirmed with conviction. Just as we said previously. He said, then you find them playing with it. They play with the ayat of Quran. They say that, well, yes, this is an evidence that is clear and absolute, it's mutawatir, but what it's alluding to, that which is alluding to, is not something that is definite and that can be relied on, that is definite. It's basically alluding to something that's of speculation. Even though we accept the verse, they say we accept the verse, but what it's alluding to is something that is not clear and it's of speculation and we can't confirm it. They said this is what they did, they've done concerning two verses of Quran that are confirmed in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the noble Quran. And these two verses are directly related to this beautiful belief, this beautiful aqidah, in reference to the believers seeing Allah on the Day of Judgment. He said the first evidence is the statement of Allah the Most High, where He says, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Faces on that day will be enlightened, gazing at their Lord, looking at their Lord. The Shaykh says this verse is clear, it's obvious. He said, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ. This is clear, it's showing that the faces that day will be enlightened, it's absolute, that's what it means, the faces will be brightened. Looking at their Lord. He said, they say in response to this, this is not a definite, something that can be a definite proof. It's something that's being alluded to that's not definite. It's not clear. And why do they say this? Because they say it's possible that we can give some interpretation to it to make it mean something else. So what is the explanation or interpretation of that ayat with them? So the Shaykh says, listen now to how they play with the evidences of the Quran that are absolute and what they're alluding to. Watch and see how they play. Listen to what they do when they're playing with the Quran. With their philosophizing or their use of philosophy, which is speculative in its direction, you know, it's basically whimsical and guess, just whimsical guesswork in reference to what it's alluding to. They say ila rabbiha nazira, which means looking at their Lord. They say this means ila na'im rabbiha nazira, looking at the bounty of their Lord, not looking at their Lord. They say that this means looking at Allah's favor, Allah's bounty, His blessings. So our Lord, glory be unto Him, the Most High, He says, looking at their Lord, gazing, or looking, you know, talking about the faces of those believers. That will be enlightened. And they come and they add another word from their own selves that's not there, making it mudaf and mudaf ilay, ila na'imi rabbiha nadira, looking at the bounty of their Lord. Not looking at their Lord, but they add possessive and possessed case here, looking at the bounty of their Lord, and they've add this word na'im from their own selves, min indi anfusihim, from their own selves.
وبالأولى أن يعطلوا جلالة الآية الأخرى
So the Sheikh says they basically outright reject what the ayah is alluding to. They reject what the ayah is saying, or what the ayah is proving. They're just in outright denial. They're in denial. They're making ta'atil. And he says, and even more so than that, they reject another ayah of the Quran, and that is the statement of Allah, blessed be He the Most High, where He says, where Allah says, for those who do good, they will have good as their reward, and even something extra, something more. So he repeats, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا حُسْنَى, for those who do good, they will have good. And he says, the husna, this is al-jannah, it means paradise. And the ziyada, that's something more that Allah has promised in that, at the end of the, at the, in the rest of that verse, in the rest of that statement, it is the seeing of Allah on the day of judgment and the hereafter. The believers being able to see Allah, that's the extra. He said, there has come concerning this an authentic hadith, a sahih hadith. He says the hadith is in Sahih Muslim with a sahih, authentic route of transmission, isnad. And it's reported on the authority of Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu anhu, the famous Sahabi.
قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم للذين أحسنوا قال الجنة.
Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas, he said, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, للذين أحسنوا حسنا, the Messenger of Allah said, for those reciting this verse, for those who do good, they will have as a reward good. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and that is Jannah. And then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, وَزِيَادَ, and something extra. And the Prophet went on to say, صلى الله عليه وسلم, that is the seeing of Allah, that the believers will see Allah on the Day of Judgment. But yet these Mu'tazila, these deviant people, they reject this tafsir, this explanation from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم himself. And why is that? Why do they reject it? Because it's a ahad hadith. The Sheikh says this philosophy is a destructive interpretations of the authentic Sunnah. The authentic Sunnah, that which the Ummah of Islam has accepted. This authentic Sunnah with acceptance, have met it with acceptance.
بهذه الفلسفة التي أصلها من الشيعة من المعتزلة.
He says they've rejected based upon this philosophy which was innovated and introduced by these Mu'tazila, these people of I'tizal who came with this rational philosophical aqlaniyya. Rational interpretations and philosophical interpretations of Islam. And he said the Shia, they are upon the same type of i'tizal, the same rejection. They have the same concept, but it was actually started by the Mu'tazila, but the Shia hold the same rejective type of philosophical concepts concerning these aspects of Quran and Sunnah, particularly the Sunnah. And specifically concerning this aqidah, this belief of seeing Allah in the hereafter. And he said, and that is that belief, they reject, the Shia, the Mu'tazila, they reject the concept that aqidah, matters of belief, can be taken from the reports which are ahad in their routes of transmission, meaning that it doesn't have enough people narrating it and have narrated that hadith for them to accept it. So in this foolishness, they have rejected, not, the Sheikh says, I don't say just tens of hadith, but rather they've rejected hundreds of authentic sahih hadith merely because of this principle which they have set, and they are not even scholars of hadith. They tried to destroy these hadiths, these authentic hadiths, and they've rejected them with this ridiculous philosophy that they hold, these philosophical concepts which have entered into Islam, which are not even of Islam. And that is their philosophical concept which they've invented, text cannot be accepted, aqidah cannot be confirmed and believed in except for if it's confirmed by a text which is solid or completely affirmable in its text itself, and also in that in its direction in which it's pointing to, that which it alludes to or is trying to prove. It also has to be an unarguable, or it has to meet with their what they can rationally not be argued against, or something like this. So we ask, is this the aqidah that our Salaf al-Salih, the righteous predecessors, were upon, were holding? And so the Shaykh says, this is the witness. Huna shahid. This is the shahid. This is the witness or the proof, or this is what we're trying to show.
Salafun al-Salih min al-maqtu'a lada kulli alimin darasa sirat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
So the Shaykh says, our predecessors, from that which is well established with every scholar who has studied the biographical history of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
وَمَا تَعَلَّقَ بِهَا مِنْ تَارِيخِ شَرَفِنَا الصَّالِحِ رضي الله عنه,
and also what is related to it, the history of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is related to it from the history of our pious predecessors رضي الله تعالى عنهم.
مَنْ مِنْكُمْ لَا يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَرْسَلَ أَفْرَادًا.
The Shaykh says, who is it amongst you that doesn't know that our Prophet ﷺ sent individuals that is, from his companions who call the people to Allah? He sent out, dispatched individuals, single people, individuals to different areas calling to Allah. And those who were being called to Allah by these du'at of the companions, these inviters from amongst the companions, he said they were the pagans, the mushrikun. And they were those people who were living in their times of jahiliyyah and ignorance as kuffar, as disbelievers. They were at that time worshipping idols, asnam. And the Shaykh says they were very far away from the da'wah of Islam, the propagation of Islam, and that was firstly in Mecca. And he says finally and lastly in Medina. So the Shaykh says this was so that the message of Islam could be spread based upon the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran.
في القرآن الكريم هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره الكافرون.
And the Shaykh says, of course, this is the ayah in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that promise of the spread of Islam is in the ayah where Allah says, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى. He is the one who sent his messenger with guidance. He was the one who sent his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the guidance, ودين الحق, and the religion of truth, ليظهره على الدين كله, so that he can make it manifest and victorious over all of other religions, ولو كره الكافرون, and even though the disbelievers hate that. And in another ayah, Allah says the same thing. At the end of the ayah, He says, "Walau kariha al-mushrikun," and even though the pagans, the polytheists, even though they may detest that, the spread of Islam. So the Shaykh says, this is according to the practical application within the limits
of what the Prophet ﷺ was able to do, referring to this ayat, the spread of Islam, and the spread of the Huda, the guidance, and the Deen al-Haq, the religion of the truth, the practical application of that within the limits of what the Prophet ﷺ was able to do. What the Prophet ﷺ was able to do from whatever methods, the whatever methods he was able to utilize to spread, to bring about the practical application of that ayat, bring about the existence and fulfillment of that ayat. So in doing that, the Prophet ﷺ, from his methodology of spreading this da'wah, he would send individuals from his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu anhum jami'an. He would send individuals from amongst his companions, and he would send them as callers, inviters to Islam, du'at. The Shaykh says, who is it from amongst you who doesn't remember that it was the Prophet ﷺ who sent Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Yemen, to the land of Yemen? And that the Prophet ﷺ sent, on another occasion, sent Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu to Yemen, to the land of Yemen. And also he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu to the land of Yemen, the area of Yemen. The Shaykh says, and these people, they were individuals. They were individuals. The Prophet sent them individually. He didn't send them in big groups. So the Shaykh says, what was it that these companions, these individuals the Prophet ﷺ would send, what was it that they were calling those pagans, those mushrikun, what was it that they were calling them to? Was it that they called them, in the beginning of that matter, when they were sent to those people, to personally call them to some of the sunnahs of Islam, the sunnah aspects of Islam? Or did they call them to, were they calling them to some of the al-umur al-mustahabba, the matters which were just preferred or recommended, of a recommendatory nature in Islam? Or were they calling those people to that they and ya'budu Allah wa istanibu at-taghut, that they worship Allah alone and stay away from false deities, false objects of worship? He says the foundation of Islam is la ilaha illallah, that none has the right to be worshipped as a deity except for Allah. And it is to disbelieve in everything other than that. The foundation of Islam is the belief in that there's nothing has right to be worshipped as a deity except for Allah. And anything other than that is to disbelieve in any other and to disbelieve in any other deity other than Him. Disbelieve in any other object of worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh says, then this is the statement, La ilaha illallah, is the foundation of the beliefs of Islam, of the aqaid, kulliha, all of them. And it was that individuals of amongst the companions used to call to this. It was individual persons in the Prophet, or some would send, send out to certain areas or to specific places or people, etc. It was individuals that he would send to call to this. So the Shaykh says, so then where did this philosophy, the philosophical movement come from, that we can't take aqidah from individuals or reports that were only from one or two or a few people? You know, where, he said, where did this philosophy come from then? And that is that aqidah is not confirmed, cannot be confirmed except for with routes of transmission that are mutawatir, numerous number of people reporting them, not a few people. And the Shaykh says this is a matter which opposes the history of our pious predecessors, the Salaf al-Salih. And specifically in the time of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then even after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for many generations, is this even an opposition to those Qurun who came after them? And that is those generations who have been witnessed, testified to by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for their good.
الذين تفرقوا شيعا وكانوا أحزابا قديما وحديثا.
So the Shaykh said, therefore, those groups who have broke up into sects and became parties, different parties, broke up into sects and parties. He said, all of these groups, they agree with us in that Islam is the Kitab, is the following of the Kitab, the Quran, and the Sunnah. But he says, however, they differ with us, and we differ with them, and that it's necessary to follow, that we try to follow our pious predecessors, of Salaf al-Salih. And particularly in following the Salaf al-Salih, and the understanding of these two fundamental resources, these two fundamental resources, or these principles, meaning the Quran and the Sunnah, we understand them according to the understanding of the Salaf al-Salih, whereas those other groups, they don't understand them like that. And the Shaykh says, if I said to one of these people, these who've opposed the Quran and the Sunnah, if I said to them, and he said, and I've already shown you the first example. This is an example of the Mu'tazila. He's going to go into another example. And he said, those Mu'tazila, this is from an older example. He said, I'm going to show you an example of a new example. He said, if I said to one of them, one of these people, will you all not follow the Quran and the Sunnah? So what do you all think? What do you think that these people would say in response to my question? So the Shaykh says, would they, in response to that, would they reject or would they accept? Would they accept and affirm? Accept and affirm. Positively that we should follow Quran and Sunnah. But the Shaykh says, but if I said to them, do you all follow the Salaf al-Salih, the pious predecessors? Meaning the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, the followers of the Sahaba, the students of the Sahaba and their students. The Shaykh says, they will say to you, no, they are men, and we are men also, just like them. Meaning, their understanding, they're just men, and our understanding, we can have another understanding. It's not necessary for us to necessarily go by with how they understood anything. So the Shaykh says, this then is what? He said, is the distinction between us and between them. And the Shaykh says, quoting an ayah in Surah Al-Kahf, "Hada firaq baini wa baini." This is the separation between me and you. This is where our roads, our paths depart from each other, split from each other. He says, in reference to the new example of this that I'm going to tell you about, he says, this one hasn't even a full, complete century hasn't even passed over this new example I'm going to set, showing you that it's something new, and the time that has passed since the outbreak of this new example, he says it hasn't even been a complete qarn, a complete century or generation. So the Shaykh says, of course, there's no doubt that many of you people who are listening to this, you have heard of those who are known by the title Qadiyaniyin, the Qadiyanis, the people who follow this particular way or school of, or this sect, excuse me, for the Qadiyani. And he says they reject this this ascription that the people call them with, and they call themselves, they prefer to be called, or they call their own selves the Ahmadiyya, the Ahmadiyyin, you know, the people who follow Ahmed. So the Shaykh says this doesn't require us to go into some deep investigation in reference to this, deception from them in reference to what they call, what they want to be called by. He says it's not necessary for us to delve into that. You know, what's the reason why they'd rather be called Ahmadiyyin instead of Qadiyaniyin, you know. He says the important thing for us to understand here is that these Qadiyaniyun, these people, Qadiyanis, they testify with us, along with us, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, in stating that they believe in the angels and other things besides that from the pillars of the Iman. And in Islam and the five pillars, they testify to these same beliefs of Islam, believing in Islam and the five pillars of Islam. So the Shaykh says, so they, you know, they pay zakat and they make hajj and they make the salah and they fast and other things besides that, just like the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah does. But however, they say that there are prophets after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, this is not like we believe, as Allah subhanahu azza wa jal, the mighty sublime, says in the noble Quran. Allah says, وَلَكِنُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ, but he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the messenger of Allah, and he's the seal, the finality of all of the prophets. And also like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in many different hadiths,
وَمِنْ أَصَحِّهَا وَأَشْهَرِهَا قَوْلُهُ لِعَلِيٍّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ.
And he says from the most authentic of those and the most clear of those hadith is his statement to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When he left Ali as his successor in Medina, or when the Prophet ﷺ was going out on an expedition, he left Ali in charge in Medina when he was leading the war party. And this is when the Prophet ﷺ was departing for the expedition of Tabuk. The Prophet said to Ali, you are, in reference to me, with the status, like the same status of Harun to Musa. Like Musa ﷺ left Harun over the people, in charge of the people's affairs, when he left and go off to the mountain. The Prophet ﷺ said, وَأَنْتَ مِنِّي, you are in relation to me, like the manzilat al-Harun ila Musa, in the status of Harun, Prophet Harun, or they say Aaron in English, to Musa, Moses alayhi salatu wasalam. And that he said, غير أنه لا نبي بعدي, except for the fact that there is no prophet, no prophet after me, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prophet said to Ali, you were like Harun and Musa in relation to me, except for the distinction being there's no prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no prophet after me, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Sheikh says, so how can these people agree with us and in reference to the pillars of Islam and faith, all these other pillars of Islam and faith, but yet when it comes to the matter of the coming, but yet at the same time when it comes to the matter of the prophets, that they believe in the coming of other prophets besides Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam after him. And the Sheikh says this to them is like kaqa'ida. It's like a principle with them to believe that there are other prophets and messengers coming after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then on top of that, he said they also believe that there was a prophet who came from a place. In India, called Qadian. And we attribute them to that village. That's the reason why we call them the Qadianiyun, the Qadiani, for the name of that village where they say that this prophet came in India who came after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says, in repeating these people, they agree with us in the other principles of Islam, other articles of faith and principles of Islam. When it comes to this principle about the prophets, they, in reference to prophets coming after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they differ with us in that. And that is that they believe that there are going to be prophets coming in the future, after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mustaqbil, in the future, and particularly that there is one who prophet who came about 60 years ago. About 60 years ago, this prophet who came out in Qadian in India. And this prophet who they follow, they say he was named Mirza Ghulam Ahmed Qadiani of Qadian. Mirza Ghulam Ahmed of Qadian. And he says this, which he has with him there, is he said this is his biography written into the Arabic language, and it's called Khadimu Ahmed, servant of Ahmed, which is talking about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's his life story has been translated, or like a biographical sketch of him, Mirza Ghulam Ahmed Qadi of Qadian, translated to Arabic, called Khadim Ahmed, the servant of Ahmed. And it's about him claiming that he's the servant of Prophet Muhammad. So the Sheikh says from their plotting and their deception is there that along with this title, Qadimu Ahmed, the servant of Ahmed, they attach to the end of that the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Wasmuhu Ahmed, and his name is Ahmed, in reference to the verse in the Quran, which is in the Surah Al-Safat. Where Allah mentions wasmuhu Ahmed. In their deception and their plotting, they try to allude to this verse of the Quran referring to Ghulam Ahmed Qadiani as instead of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
كيف هؤلاء يعتقدون بمجيء أنبياء وأن أحدهم جاء
And the Sheikh says, this is like I alluded to earlier, previously, but he says, so here the proof, the witness, is how can these people believe in the coming of prophets after Muhammad ﷺ, and that one of them came, and yet they believe in the previous verse, which we've mentioned about the prophets, ﷺ, that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, he's the seal of the prophets. That is the verse where Allah says, وَلَكِنَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. But he talking about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the messenger of Allah and the seal of the prophets. In that verse where Allah says that Muhammad al-Rasul, ma kana Muhammadan aba ahadan min rijalikum walakin Rasulullah wa khatamun nabiyyin, that Muhammad is not the father of any one of the men amongst you, but rather he is the messenger of Allah and the finality of all the prophets. They say they believe in everything that we believe in. They believe in this verse in the Quran, but yet how can they say they believe in this verse of the Quran and then believe that there are other prophets after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And on top of that, they don't reject that hadith which we mentioned, the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. They don't reject that hadith either. But what do? They say, oh, you all don't really understand the Quran. They say, oh, you Arabs, you Arab people, the ones, you all who have agreed upon the meaning of this verse in the Quran, concerning the meaning of the word Khatam al-Nabiyyin, the seal of the prophets, they say you all really don't understand the meaning of the Arabic language in the Quran. But they say rather the one who understood this ayah is the one who had revelation sent to him anew, you know, as a revivalist, as a reviver. And they're talking about, of course, Ghulam Ahmed, Mirza Ghulam Ahmed, claiming basically that he understood the Arabic language better than all of the generations of the Arabs, as the Sheikh said, Khalafan an Salaf, you know, the latter generations all reporting from the earlier generations. They have all understood this ayat mutawatiran, in unanimous agreement in this way. But yet they say, no, you all don't really understand Arabic, the one, or the language in the Quran. The one who understood it was this man, Ghulam Ahmed. So the Sheikh just says, and that person who they're talking about is Mirza Ghulam Ahmed Qadiani of Qadian. And so he says, so what do they say is the meaning, real meaning of this verse? They say it means this verse, وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ, but he, Muhammad, is the messenger of Allah and the seal of the prophets. They say, خَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ, they say this means he's the messenger of Allah, yes, but خَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ means زِينَةَ النَّبِيِّينَ, he's the beautification of the prophets. Doesn't mean he's the seal or the finality of the prophets, just means the beautification of the prophets. And they say, just like the khatim, khatim means ring, also in Arabic, it means a ring that you put on your finger. They say, just like the khatim, the ring is the beauty of the finger, zinatul isba', it's the beauty of the finger. Then just like that, Muhammad ﷺ is the beauty of the anbiya, of the prophets, in this way. So they say, therefore, the meaning of the ayat of this verse is not like you all understand, you Sunni Muslims and you Arabs. Meaning that we understand it to mean that he is the last of the prophets. And he says, so if you mention to them this previous hadith that we mentioned, this hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and its narration, the narrating of this hadith with this type of wording is numerous, very, very numerous, kathira jiddan jiddan, very numerous. He says, likewise, they will distort the meaning of the hadith.
أنت مني بمنزلة هارون من موسى غير أنه لا نبي بعدي أي معي.
He said they will like what they, just like they distort the meaning of the ayat that we mentioned, they'll distort the hadith. And they say this hadith where Ali said that the Prophet said to him, you are like to me, Harun to in the place of Harun to Musa, like Harun, Musa leaving Harun behind him when he went as the Prophet was going to the expedition of Tabuk, and he left Ali in charge of Medina as he was going to that battle, leading a war, the large war expedition. He said to Ali, "You are like I'm leaving you behind me, just like Musa left Harun behind him. The only difference is that there are no prophets after me." They said, "Oh, this just means there are no prophets with me. There are no there was no prophet. Yeah, there are no prophets with me, meaning in my time." Which they say means that the prophet saying that to Ali just meant that, you know, I'm going to die and there won't be any prophets in my lifetime with me. But however, after I die and I go back to my Lord, there may be prophets who are going to, there are going to be prophets who come after me. So they say the true meaning of the hadith, when the prophet said, "La nabiyyun ba'di," there's no prophet after me. He said this means, they say that this means, meaning no prophet with me, meaning in my lifetime, you know, while I'm living. And he says, so the Shaykh says, likewise, thus we see how they distort the interpretations of the text of Quran and Sunnah, just like was done by their predecessors before them, who were the Mu'tazila and Jahmiyyah, the Mu'tazila, and the Shia, and others like them, others the Khawarij and others like them. So the Shaykh says, so here is the line that we need to pay attention to, the line of wording that we need to pay attention to, and he says that is that it's not sufficient for us to say that we understand Islam or that we are practicing Islam based upon just following Quran and Sunnah only. Shaykh Al-Bani says this is not sufficient for us. And he said that is because every misguided sect said has the same wording. They say the same thing. We follow Quran and Sunnah. He said every last misguided sect from amongst the people who have a claim to Islam claim they're following the Kitab and the Sunnah. And he says, and they also take these two principles, the Quran and Sunnah. They say that this is from their deen. I mean, they take this, they practice Islam based upon the Quran and Sunnah. But he says, if you say to them, like I alluded to earlier, like if you say to them what I told you said previously, if you ask them, do you all follow the Salaf, the pious the predecessors? Extending all the way from the Sahaba, then to the second generation, and then to the third generation, do you follow their understanding, those Salaf as-Salihun, those righteous predecessors? He said, you will find that their answer will be, no. نَحْنُ الرِّجَالُ وَهُمْ رِجَالُ. We are men, and they are men just like us. There's no, we're not obligated to follow their understanding. Yes, we follow Quran and Sunnah, but why should we have to follow them, their interpretation? So the Shaykh says, therefore our da'wah, the da'wah of da'wah to Salafiyyah, he said it's important that, and necessary that you all understand it well. Understand it and understand it well. So the Shaykh says, this is the important goal of my talk, my discussion, that which I began with at the beginning of the lecture, of my lecture, when I heard you all's rushing to say, rushing in loud voices and saying, Ameen, preceding me and saying, Ameen, when I was saying Ameen in the prayer, you all praying behind me, and when I heard you all saying the Ameen over me, this led me to this this discussion, which was the first thing we began with discussing at the beginning of this khatira, this lecture.